I remember as kids, if we would have a race or we would be choosing individuals for a team, the person who would come in second or the person who was picked second would always say something to the effect of, first is the worst, second is the best. We always thought first was the best, coming in first place, being picked first. That phrase was likely created by those who came in second and wanted to feel good about it. First is the worst, second is the best. But one phrase that we never heard growing up was last is the best. If you're picked last, if you come in last in a race, no one ever tries to justify it by saying last is the best. But in Yiddishkeit, there actually might be a source of this. There's a very well-known phrase that is often thrown around out of context, and that phrase is acharon acharon chaviv, essentially being translated as last is the best. Sometimes if a person gets up to speak last, he'll justify having to speak last by saying acharon acharon chaviv. But let's try to actually understand what that phrase means, and it's actually a little bit mistranslated the way it gets thrown around. So the source of the phrase is actually based on a pasuk in Parshas Vayishlach, Perek Lamed Gimel Pasuk Beis. When Yaakov is preparing to fight Esav, as Esav is approaching, the pasuk says, "Vayasam es hashvachos es yaldehen rishona." The front line, the first individuals Esav would attack, would be his maidservants and their children. "Ve'es Leah viladeha achoranim," and Leah and her children will come afterwards. "Ve'es Rachel ve'es Yosef achoranim." And Rachel and Yosef would come after that, would be in the back line. And Rashi says on the phrase, "Ves Leah viladeh achoranim," that on Leah and her children will be next, after the Shvachos, acharon acharon chaviv. And Rashi gets this from the Medrash and Brishis Rabbah. So before we analyze what Rashi means and what's the deeper significance, Rav Yitzchak Weiss, who lived from 1873 to 1942, he was murdered in the Holocaust, has a Shas and Tshuva Sefer Siach Yitzchak. He says, we do find a similar concept to Acharon Acharon Chaviv in several places. First of all, the Yalkut Shimoni in Parshas Bo notes that when the Pasuk says that in Mitzrayim the Jews borrowed clay kesef u clay zahav u smolos, silver utensils and gold utensils and garments, that smolos, garments, wasn't really necessary in that pasuk, but it teaches us that the clothing was actually more dear to the Jewish people at that time than the gold and the silver, as acharon acharon chaviv. So in that context, acharon acharon chaviv is taken quite literally, that the item that's listed last in the pasuk is most dear to the Jewish people in that time. He notes we also find a similar concept in the Mishnah Megillah, in Perek Daled Mishnah Aleph, where it says that back in the day, only the person who got the first aliyah to the Torah and the last aliyah to the Torah would actually make a berachas haTorah when they got the aliyah. The middle aliyos, they wouldn't make a bracha. Now, nowadays we don't do this, but that was the minhag. And the Tosos Yontov on that Mishnah says, based on this, this is why we give an Adam Chashuv Acharon. So he should be Zocha in the bracha Achrona. So Rav Menashe Klein, in Yishalos and Tshuvos Mishnah HaLachos, in Chelek Tazvav Simin Nunhei, was asked about the chashivos of the Acharon Aliyah. Is there an extra level of chashivos to get Acharon? So he notes that many say, we say Acharon, Acharon Chaviv, like by Rachel and Leah. But he says, actually, another smach, another hint to the importance of Acharon, of being last, of the chashivos of being last, is actually from our Parsha, Parshas Baaloscha, in Perek Yud, Pasuk Chav Hei, which tells us that the B'nai Dun, those of the Shevet Dun, were Ma'asif L'chol HaMachanos, would gather from all their camps, from all their Shvatim. Rashi explains, based on the Yerushalmi and Erevin, that the Shevet of Dun was very numerous, and therefore they traveled last, so that if anyone had lost anything, they would find it and return it to them. So the Gur Aryeh, the Maharal, and many other Achronim ask, if we're going based on the most numerous Shevet, if you look in the Psukim, really Shevet Yehuda was larger than Shevet Dun. Shevet Dun was only the second to largest Shevet. So why was Shevet Dun last if it's only based on their numbers? So the Gur Aryeh answers that it's true that Shevet Yehuda was larger, but because they had Malchus, kingship comes from Shevet Yehuda, they needed to travel first, just like a Melech would travel first, and therefore Shevet Dan was next best. So sometimes first is the worst, second really is the best. And therefore, that's why Shevet Dan went last. However, Menashe Klein suggests that it seems clear from the Gur Aryeh that if not for the fact that Shevet Yehuda had a din of a melech, they too would have gone last, as they were the most numerous. So you see the chashivus of going last. So if Klein points out, therefore a Kohen gets the first aliyah, like the geder, like the din of a melech, but a Kohen can also get acharon, since it too has very great chashivus. So you see that this acharon chaviv actually has halachic ramifications. But let's get back to Rashi on the initial source of the phrase achron chaviv, that as Leah bilada achoranim, that Leah and her children came next, came after the shvachos. What is Rashi and the Medrash telling us by saying achron chaviv? What would that mean in this context? So Bnei Yisachar in two places, in Igud Deperka, Os Shin Chaf Beis, also the Bnei Yisachar in Maimar Chodesh Kislev Teves, Maimar Dalid. Note that there's a pasuk in Chagi, in Perek Beis pasuk Tes, which says, Gadol Yiyah Kavod HaBayis HaZeh HaAchron Min HaRishon. It's referring to the Bayis Sheni, the second Beis HaMikdash, and it says that the Kavod of the second Beis HaMikdash, the Bayis HaAchron, was greater Kavod than the first Beis HaMikdash, than the Min HaRishon. In fact, the Gemara in Baba Basra and Daf Gelmar Aleph actually used this pasuk to explain why the second Beis HaMikdash was taller than the first and lasted longer than the first, because the Navi describes that it had greater kavod. So the Apikorsim have come and read this pasuk and said, wait a second, the Jewish people believe that they are Tzipisa Yeshua, they daven for the third Beis HaMikdash, then why in Tanakh are they referring to the second Beis HaMikdash as Habayis HaAcharon, the last one? It must be the Jews have lost hope of ever having another Beis HaMikdash. However, Bnei Sosler quotes Atosos Yom Tov in all places in Meseches Demai, Perek Zayin Mishnah Gimel. The Mishnah over there says Meiser Sheni Ba'achrona. The Meiser Sheni is Ba'achrona, which seems strange, because the Meiser Sheni doesn't actually have to be from the last of the produce. So Tosos Yom Tov notes, he presents a yesod, that the word acharon doesn't necessarily mean last, it just means after something that came before it. He notes, we find by the pasuk of Rachel and Leah, that we just quoted in Vayishlach, that it says Leah and her children are called achoranim, even though Rachel and Yosef come afterwards. So clearly it doesn't mean that Leah and her children came last. So you see, something can be called achoranim or acharon, even though it's not last. It's just in relation to what came before it. The Tosfos Yom Tov says, in the Mishnah Demai, that he heard that this is pshat in the pasuk in Chagi, that when we call the Bayis Sheni, the second Beis HaMikdash, acharon, that's in respect to the first Beis HaMikdash. But of course, we hope and pray every day for a third Beis HaMikdash. Tosfos Yom Tov brings a proof to this, because in Parsha Shemos, it says, V'shamo l'kol ha'os ha'acharon, that the Bnei Yisrael will listen to Moshe's last sign. But then Moshe proceeds to give a third sign. He notes this is also consistent with the Gemara in Tainis, and Daf Yudal Ben Aleph, which says that nursing and pregnant women fast on the Rishonos and not the Achronos, the first set of fasts, but not the second ones. Now, it's very clear that when it says Achronos, it doesn't mean those are the last possible fasts. It just means that those are the fasts that follow the first set of fasts. So based on all of that, Tosfos Yom Tov posits that often Acharon doesn't mean last, rather it means second or after something that preceded it. So, Bnei Yisachar in the Igud Deperka, he explains why would we call the middle Acheron to show that it's more beloved? Meaning Rashi's telling us Acheron, Acheron, Chaviv, that we're saying not simply that Acheron means something that comes before, but it's a deeper level of juxtaposition. Not only are we saying that what comes next is next in the order, but we're saying that it comes next in terms of how beloved it is. Meaning, when Yaakov placed his wives in order, the Shvachos came first. Yes, Leah and her children were acharonis, which means that they were next, but it also means they were more beloved. And then Rachel and Yosef come afterwards, and they were the most beloved. So based on that, Bnei Yisrael notes that Bayis Rishon, the first piece of Migdash, was Keneged Leah. Bayis Sheni was Keneged Rachel. And the third piece of Migdash will have the Milos of both Rachel and Leah. And this, in fact, supports the Pasuk in Megillas Rus, in Perek Dal Pasuk Yid Aleph, which says that the Zakenim said to Boaz, that Hashem has given you this woman that has come to your home, Kirachel Uchaleya, Asher Banu Shtehem es Beis Yisrael. What does that mean? Rachel and Leah built the Beis Yisrael? So Beis Yisrael is an allusion to Bayis Shlishi, to the third Beis HaMikdash. Rachel and Leah, their milos in combination, will be responsible for building the third Beis HaMikdash. And that explains Acheron, Acheron, Chaviv. But let's go even a little deeper, a little more hashgafic. The Netziv in Hemek Davar, he notes that when we say that Shevet Dan was at the end, was the Acheron. Why were they the Acheron? So Rashi told us, because they stood at the back, they were the most numerous, or the second to most numerous, and they gathered all the lost objects. But maybe we can connect this to Acheron, Acheron, Chaviv. What's the Chavivus of Shevet Dan being in the back? Was it simply that they had a lost and found bin? That was their Chashivus? That's why they were Chaviv? So the Netziv says, Shevet Dan didn't only handle lost objects, they handled lost Jews. Those from other Shvatim, from other Machanos, who were weak, who were slow, who couldn't keep up with their Machana, they would be alone. They would fall to the back. They would join with Machane Dan. Shevet Dan would incorporate them, would inculcate them into their own Shevet, and walk with them slowly until they could eventually be reunited with their Shevet. And this requires koach. In fact, in Parshas Vayechi, Yaakov gives Dan himself a bracha, Dan Yadin Amo, which alludes to the fact that Dan would gather all the Machanos. It had to have Gvura, Zrizus, to fight off anyone behind, to go slower, to have the patience to be with those stragglers. And that's why the next pasuk also says Dan is Yehi Dan Nachash Ale Derech. Dan would have to act like a snake to kill anyone behind, to protect those who were left behind. Now, this month we are in is still the month of Kabbalah Satorah. We experienced Shavuos not too long ago. Rav Yonasan Eibishitz in the Aros Dvash in Chilak Aleph Drush Beis notes that each month corresponds to a certain Shevet. Sivan, the month we're in now, corresponds to Shevet Dan. Why? Says Rav Eibishitz, Shevet Dan was Ma'aseth Kol HaMachanos. He gathered all Jews. And this is corresponding to Chodesh Sivan, as Sivan is a month of Kabbalah Satorah. And by Kabbalah Satorah we say, Vayachanu mul ha'har ke'ish echad l'Kabbalah Satorah. Shavuos was a time, Chodesh Sivan was a time where we were able to gather together, all of us, every Shevet, no Jew left behind. That was Dan's task, to gather in every Jew. B'ma'asef kol ha'machanos. And perhaps that's why Acheron, Acheron, Chaviv. They weren't just Chaviv because they had a lost and found box. They were Chaviv because they were ma'asef kol ha'machanos. They recognized the value of every single Jew. And that's Chodesh Sivan, where we mekabel the Torah with every single Jew. Rav Tzadok, in the Pri Tzadik, in Parsha Shoftim, notes that the Pasuk in Yeshayahu says, Uma'asifchem Elokei Yisrael. that in your rear is a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the God of Israel. And Rashi says over there, Kadosh Baruch Hu will guard us from any pursuer, just like Sheva Dan guarded those in the camps. Whoever goes last is called a Ma'asef, as he waits for stragglers and stumblers. Sheva Dan waited for them, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu waits for us. And Rav Tzadok notes that this is in the end of the Haftorah of Shabbos Nachamu. Why is that a Nachama? We're in Galus, but we recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not leave any Jewish soul behind. When the Geula happens, Bekarov, it'll be with all of us. The Koach of Sheva Dan was to be Ma'asif every Jew, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu u'ma'asifchem Elokei Yisrael. God is our gatherer, and Hashem will not leave any Jew behind. In the Shara Chasidus, the story is told of Rabbi Yechiel Michal of Zlotchev. It's brought down in the Sheres Yisrael, Shar His Kashrus Likutim as well, that many Hasidim used to pray very late in the morning, a very late Shacharis. And it's hard to understand the justification. If you have a certain Zman Tefillah, how are they davening so late? So Yechiel Michal would say, the tribe of Dan was known to gather all that had been lost. They would also pick up all the davenings, all the tefillos of Klal Yisrael that had been prayed unmindfully, that had not been prayed at all. So I, says Yechiel Michal, like them, I pray last in order to gather all the tefillos of those that came before me. We're in a time right now that's very exciting. Many of us are starting to go back to shul, whether it be just with a minyan in a house or in a backyard, or even in the Beis Knesses Mamish, in the holy sanctuary that houses the Aron Kodesh. It's an exciting time, a time with a lot of jubilation, song, dance, fervor, tefillos. We have to remember. We have to be ma'asif l'chol ha-machanos. Unfortunately, these guidelines now are coming out that we can only have a certain percentage in shul, children under a certain age, perhaps elders over a certain age. There are still individuals who cannot and will not be able to participate in the basic Knesset tefillah. And so while myself or you may be able to participate, let's not forget those who cannot participate. Let's not forget that it's a little bit complicated how to make sure that everyone is accounted for as we adapt to life back in our shul. And in whatever position we are in our community, in our shul, in our minyan, in whatever capacity we can, let's be mindful, like Sheva Dan, to ma'asif l'chol ha-machanos, to try as best that we can to make sure everyone has a place to go, because sometimes people can get lost in the cracks. And also, whatever exuberance and joy we're feeling, to know that we're in Chodesh Sivan. And in Chodesh Sivan, as we know, as the Yaros Devash told us, the month of Kabbalah HaTorah is Ki'ish Echal LeKabbalah HaTorah. We're not stopping here. We're not satisfied with just getting back. We want everyone there. Because the only way we experience Geula, the only way HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring the Geula, is if He's our Ma'asif. If He gathers us, just as Sheva Dan gathered those stragglers. But as Rav Tzadok pointed out, U'ma'asifchem Elokei Yisrael, the only way God gathers us is if He gathers every single one of us. No stragglers, no stumblers, no Jew left behind. It's an exciting time. Let's keep this in mind, and let's have a Chodesh Sivan that we'll never forget, and let's enter our Bate Knesios with exuberance, with joy, and with love, as we take this next step towards reuniting with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, eventually to the ultimate, by Shlishi, Third Beis HaMikdash, Acharon, Acharon, Chaviv.